not.
I do, but I'm just telling you, Obamacare doesn't cover pre-existing conditions because it won't be here. I wouldn't mind that quote.
Okay, I got it.
And that's a risque quote, but it's true.
But you are guaranteeing that you will not sign a health care bill.
I want it to be a great bill for the people. I do. And if it's not going to be good, I'm not going to sign it.
I'm okay with that quote, too. We've had far more risque ones.
No, if it's not going to be good, I'm not going to sign it.
Okay.
But it's going
to
be.
I'm looking. People will want to hear you say that because they're going to want to know if they already have cancer or something. If they're
I want people to be taken care of.
Okay.
Properly. And they're not being taken care of now.
If your tax cuts end up being temporary because of the cost, does that take some of the juice out of it? I mean, I just know.
I'd like them to be permanent. You're talking about if they make it like a 4-year deal or something?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because if they're so expensive and they can't get it.
I know. I'd like it to be permanent. Don't forget. Okay, so here's something very important. So we're doing a very big tax cut. We need it. The economy's growing at 1%. Not growing. It's not growing at all. It's a GDP of 1%. That's really bad. And the first quarter, second quarter really isn't my quarter. That's really a leftover from, in all fairness, I just got here. So you're growing at 1% or less in the country. So we need something. We need a stimulus. But when you talk about putting money back in, my new trade deals are going to bring a lot of money back in. My cost savings are going to bring a lot of money back in. I'll give you an example. So nobody wrote this story, but maybe somebody should. The F-35 fighter jet, I got involved in the negotiation. It's 2,500 jets. I negotiated for 90 planes, lot 10. I got $725 million off the price. Probably if I added up the entire time I worked on it, it was like an hour. But I got $725 million off the price. There's so many things we can save on. There's
okay,
so much.
Little bits and pieces here and there.
Including health care. We're going to end up with better health care at a lower price. People are going to pay less, and they're going to have a lower deductible. You know, the second biggest problem, other than premiums with Obamacare, is the deductibles. They're so high, nobody's going to get to use them.
Gas tax. Let me ask you about the federal gas tax. To pay for your infrastructure plan, would you be willing to consider increasing the federal gas tax if the money went, if you had a dedicated revenue stream for your infrastructure plan?
So I'll tell you what was very interesting. The truckers came to see me, and I have very good relationships with the truckers. I have one friend who's a big trucker, and he said, I've never seen anything like it. You know, with the roads, you've heard the story, with the roads and his trucks are all being destroyed, and he's going to start buying cheap equipment now. Yeah. The roads are in bad shape. But I've had the truckers come to see me that if we earmarked money toward the highways, that they would not mind a tax, gas tax or some form of tax. So I haven't made a commitment, but they would like it because they say the roads are in such bad condition. We can't allow that.
Can I report that you're open to raising the gas tax? Would that be fair?
The truckers have said that they want me to do something as long as that money is earmarked to highways. You could say that I had that meeting.
Okay.
Well, it's something that I would certainly consider because they've asked me to consider it.
It seems like it could be an opening potentially for some negotiations with Democrats as well. It's maybe the only area that I can think of where you would consider a revenue increase.
The Democrats want infrastructure. They want a $1 trillion bill, and I'm totally open to that. We are in agreement there. I think where I'm in best agreement with the Democrats are that and trade. You know, I had, Jennifer, you reported this once. I had a lot of Bernie Sanders voters for me.
You did.
People don't realize how many. And it was all because of trade. Because the one thing that I agreed with him on, not much, but the one thing was trade. Because he knows the United States is being ripped off on trade. He's the only one that got it. And nobody's tougher on trade than I am.
One really quick question, going back to your tax reform plan.
Yeah.
Is it a starting point? Like, you're a negotiator, so is
well,
this
everything.
Tax reform plan a starting
Honestly,
point?
Jennifer,
or are you going to insist on everything?
Everything's a starting point. Look,
okay.
Obviously. You can't just say, I'm living with it. Everything's a starting point. But hopefully I don't have to change it very much, and maybe I won't have to change it at all, but everything's a starting point.
Is there anything you think you could lose? Is there anything you could shed?
There's always something you can lose.
Are there a couple of things you can't lose on that plan?
Yes, there are a couple of things, but I can't tell you what.
Oh, give us one, please.
I would like to keep it as low as possible, but we're going to bring a lot of money in on trade. We're going to bring a lot of money on reciprocal, as an example. where you have countries with the big tax and we get nothing for the same product, and we're paying, our companies are paying 100% tax in some countries, and if they send their product to us, we pay nothing. It doesn't make sense. I'm a big believer in a reciprocal tax. Now, this is trade we're talking about, not what you saw.
Sure.
But, you know, because I actually think the border tax, the concept of border tax, is more of a trade issue than it is a so when we talk about income coming in, I believe border tax in its form, if we use that, reciprocal tax is a tax that I really love because basically nobody can fight it. If a country's charging us 52% and we're charging them nothing for the same product going back and forth, nobody can fight. I've even said to other countries, I said, listen, you're charging us a lot. We're going to charge you the same thing. They shrug their shoulders. They can't fight it. But if you say you're going to put a 10% tax on, everyone says, oh, you're taxing. You're taxing. I love a reciprocal tax. Nobody can fight it. It's fair. And it's something that we are working on very strongly. But a lot of the taxes in terms of income coming in are taxes that I'm viewing more in the trade tax than I am in the other. Like you've heard me say that when somebody, when a big car company, you saw they're moving back into Michigan. They're moving big league back into Michigan. I mean, I don't want to say because I don't want to anger the Mexicans any more than they are already angered. But, you know, a couple of companies started building plants and they actually stopped. And now they're expanding in Michigan and they're moving back in into Ohio and different states. They're moving back in. Because they think that I'm going to charge them 35% if they build their car, fire all their employees, go to Mexico, build a factory, build their car, and put it, or air conditioner, or whatever it is, and sell it back in. I told them, you're going to have a 35% tax to pay, or a very substantial tax. And now they're saying, we're building in Michigan, and we're building in Ohio. You see what's going on with the car companies? You ought to call Ford, call Mr. Fields, the head of Ford, call Mary Barra, head of General Motors. You could call Fiat, you know, you could call Fiat, you could call. We had that meeting. They're all talking about building in the United States because of me.
How would you sell?
By the way, if my opponent won, you would have not, the companies would be fleeing right now. Now, a couple of things. They love the tax cut. Okay. They love my regulation cuts, which are going to be, I think, personally, it's a big thing. I think the regulation cuts are going to have an even bigger impact than the massive tax cuts. And this is the biggest tax cut in history. This is bigger than Reagan. You know, remember we used to say the biggest since Reagan? I used to say that. This is actually bigger than Reagan tax cuts. But what they are is the biggest regulation cuts in history by far.
I'd like to ask you about North Korea, but very quickly on the gas tax question. If that is something that ultimately you decide you'd like to support, how would you sell the Republicans on this? Because no tax increases.
Well, when the industry comes to me, when the trucking industry comes to me and says that the highways are so bad that their trucks are being destroyed, you know, badly hurt, badly, really badly hurt, damaged from New York to California, and that truckers want to buy crummy equipment now because they, you know, I mean, this guy used to always pride himself on buying the best. He said, I get it. I go from New York to California. We got our tires are all beat up because, you know, they're running over potholes. They're running over gravel. They're running over bad roads. You know, the roads are worn out, so it wears out the rubber. The stuff goes and it splatters all over the, you know, the bottom of the trucks, and they're all beat to hell.
It's bad for business.
Well, he said, we've never, I said, how has it been? He's 40 years he's been in business. I said, how has it been? He said, it's never been like this.
And on the reciprocal tax, you think you could get that through Congress as well?
Well, I'm just telling you, I haven't even mentioned this to anybody. I mean, I'm giving you something first. I find that people are very open to the reciprocal tax because it's just all we're doing is saying, whatever you're doing, we're doing. It's, I love the reciprocal tax. Now, in theory, if they're charging 50% and we're charging nothing, in theory, what they should do is say, okay, we'll all charge nothing. But either way, it's, you know, it's a great tax, and it's a very free trade tax if you think about it. Because, you know, depending on the amount and the volumes and everything else, in theory, they should bring it down to nothing, or whatever they get, we get. So you can do that. Reciprocal tax is something that's very important to me. So we could have a lot of money coming in. But it comes in through trade, and it comes in through renegotiating NAFTA. Now, just, and by the way, you've been at plenty of my speeches. I would always say, we will renegotiate NAFTA or terminate it, right? I never said we'll terminate it. I said, we'll read it. So, and just so we put it finally on the record, I think you saw me do the little quick interview there on the NAFTA, because it's very simple.
Yes.
I was getting ready to terminate NAFTA. I got a call from Mexico, and he said, I would appreciate you not doing that. And I got a call, amazingly, within 20 minutes from Justin from Canada, and I have a good relationship with both. I like them both a lot. And they said, could we negotiate instead of you terminating? I said, yes. I was going to terminate on Saturday. I had the papers. Is it true? The papers were ready. Termination papers were ready.
Are you any further along the road on knowing what you want to read?
Well, the biggest problem I have is this fast start, or whatever they call it, fast track. It's a horrible situation. We put our papers in 60 days ago for fast track. We still haven't been approved because the Democrats are holding them up. So I want to start negotiating. And is it a 90 or 100-day period? What is it?
90-day
period. So I put my papers in 60 days ago to renegotiate NAFTA, and I still don't have them approved. That means, in theory, we can't negotiate until they're approved. The Democrats are holding them up. Widen.
Is there anything you want to change with Mexico or Canada at this point?
A lot.
Tell us anything.
Yeah, a lot. Oh, it's got to be. It's very unfair.
The other thing is just go back to.
We have massive deficits with Mexico. You know, we're losing. We have a trade deficit with Mexico. Of almost $70 billion. We have a trade deficit with Canada of approximately $15 billion. The lumber coming in from Canada is killing us. It's killing us. The dairy that's not going into Canada from Wisconsin, a state that I happen to love, is absolutely unfair.
So it's unfair. Any clues on what you would change in NAFTA?
Oh, we'll change a lot in NAFTA. But you have to understand, I have a problem with Congress. They won't approve the start. So this is supposed to be fast track, but it has to be approved. You put your papers in, and they're tying it into my trade negotiator. They're saying it doesn't start until your trade negotiator is approved. Well, they're holding him up. The law actually says, you know, your trade representative, which is Lighthizer, which, by the way, is very unfair. You understand that. So I'm trying to get, because Mexico wants to start now, and so does Canada. They're all set. And I got to keep waiting for Congress. Our system is archaic. The biggest thing that, and they don't talk about it, but the biggest beneficiaries are going to be the middle class of the tax cut. And we're going to keep it that way. When you say, is there anything you won't change? That's something I won't change. And also,
how are they the biggest beneficiaries?
Because they're going down to 10%. They're going down to 10%.
You have put, throughout your career, great emphasis on forging personal relationships. And that's true in the White House also. And your ability to make deals, in part, based on this personal relationship. So what I want to ask you is, have you thought about this? Would you be willing to meet with Kim Jong-un personally to try to reach a peace agreement?
I was getting there.
Yeah, it's a slow wind-up, sorry.
We have breaking news. Is this going to be breaking news, Jennifer?
It depends on what you say.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a potentially very bad situation that we will meet in the toughest of all manners if we have to do that. If it would be appropriate for me to meet with him, I would be honored to do it. If it's under under the right circumstances. But I would do that. Hey, look, I'm meeting with Abbas on Wednesday, the leader of Palestine. You think that's slightly smaller, right? Well, I'm meeting with Abbas on Wednesday, and people are saying that's a very good thing to do because I'd like to see peace in the Middle East, and I'd like to see the Palestinians and the Israelis come together and Israel come together and have peace. Now, under the right circumstances, I would be.
Do you think these are the right circumstances now?
Well, I think he is. Look, we have tremendous power over there. And we cannot allow him to do what he's doing. We cannot allow him to say what he's saying. He's making very provocative statements. We cannot allow that. We have tremendous... So we cannot let a situation happen where, under any circumstances, where he can launch missiles into the United States. Plus, we happen to have great allies in that area, and I feel very strongly toward those allies. So, yes, under the right circumstances, I would absolutely meet with him.
And
no problem.
And you're thinking, are you thinking
now, most political people would never say that, but I'm telling you, under the right circumstances, I would meet with him.
Okay.
We have breaking news.
You did make a little bit there, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just.
Quick staffing question. In a month or two, Bannon, Priebus, do you think that they'll be in their exact same roles in a month or two, 6 months
I think so.
Now?
You know, the one thing, and I think you see it, we have a lot of people that really do get along. I mean, Kellyanne, I mean, seriously,
absolutely.
We have a lot of people.
We're meeting each other's house.
Jared is a very brilliant young guy. Bannon has you know, I like him a lot. He's actually a very good guy. Sometimes I call him alt-left, okay?
Why?
Bannon's more of a libertarian than anything else, if you want to know the truth, okay? He's really, you know, they give him a bad rap. Bannon is a very decent guy who feels very strongly about the country. Likewise, Jared, and they're getting along fine. We have they're getting along well. We have a lot of people that are getting along well. Although it's coming out better now than it was, you know, for a while. And for a while, it was a little testy, I guess, for some of them. But you said you got to get your acts together. You know, they're very competitive. We have very competitive people in this administration.
Kellyanne and Sean are in the room too.
No, well, they're not.
Same vote of confidence.
He's become the biggest star on television now. You know, he's getting more than the Bold and the Beautiful guys, those handsome guys that they pay a fortune, right?
Are you happy with the job both of them are doing?
Yes,
also?
I am. I'm happy with everybody.
You?
I am.
So no one is moving at all in the near
no,
future.
No, I don't expect to see it now. I will tell you, probably people are going to get job offers. That, you know, things happen. But I'm very happy with our group. We're doing very well. I think, you know, it's interesting. I think I'm getting very high marks on foreign policy. I noticed that over the last couple of days. I don't think of it as much, but we're getting very, very high marks on foreign policy. Great relationship with China. I mean, I'll give you an example, a currency manipulator. First of all, since I started running, they haven't increased their currency. You know, they have not manipulated their currency. I think that was out of respect to me and the campaign, but literally, since when it looked like I was starting to win the Republican primaries, which was actually pretty early, but they haven't been. But here's, assuming they were, and they're helping me with North Korea, I'm going to say, by the way, how you doing with North Korea? Well, blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, we're going to name you a currency manipulator. Think of it. I'm naming you a currency manipulator. How are you doing with North Korea? I guess you could put it that way.
You've invited...
Do you understand? It's so ridiculous. But nobody ever says that. They'll say, Donald Trump did not come through with his thing on currency manipulation. You can't be having them help us on something where millions and millions of lives are at stake and then say, we're going to name you a currency manipulator. Right? I like to tie them. They never like to tie them together.
You mentioned the meeting with Mr. Abbas. You've also invited Mr. Duterte to the White House.
Yes.
There's been a lot of criticism or concern about his human rights record in his
Philippines
own country.
Is very important to me.
You've mentioned the importance of North Korea. Does that take precedence over concerns about extrajudicial killings in the Philippines? And will you, how do you balance those? How do you explain to people why
the Philippines is very important to me strategically and militarily? And I've had numerous conversations with the leader of the Philippines, and he's got a big problem. He's got a massive drug problem. He's been very, very tough on that drug problem, but he has a massive drug problem.
Do you think he's...
You know, he's very popular in the Philippines. He has a very high approval rating in the Philippines, but he's very popular in the Philippines. I look forward to meeting him. If he comes to the White House, that's fine. I look forward to meeting him. The Philippines are a very important... I have many, many friends from the Philippines. They're great people. The Philippines strategically is very important to us. I think we'll have a great relationship with the Philippines. I think it's strategically very important to do so.
Should we break up the big banks? Do you support that?
I'm looking at that right now as we speak. Oh, you listen
really?
To you. I'm looking at that, right? I didn't know this one was going to be brought up. But we are looking at that. There, you know, some people that want to go back to the old system, right? So we're going to look at that. We're going to look, we're looking at it right now, and as we speak. And Dodd-Frank is going to be very, very seriously changed so the banks can go back to loaning money.
How long are you bounce back? Quick, help the door. Bloomberg.
You'll start seeing. Right now, this is the end of the Obama era.
A year to get to 4%? So 18
All
months?
All right. Wait, I don't like to put personal guidelines on it. I can say this. You know, everyone talks about the 3%. I think we can do far more than 3%. And I think we can do more than 4% eventually. It'll take time to get there. We've been moribund. We've been a country that has had such horrible rules and regulations, and we've been stifled. We've been artificially stifled for so long. But I really think we can go higher than 4% eventually.
Let's do this photo. I think it's a good place for Barron to live. You still
think so? I think so. Okay. He's all set.
You must miss him.
I do. Well, they come down on the weekends. She just left. She's coming back down later.
So you talked about it being a cocoon. So you think it's okay for a 10-year-old to be here, though?
It's a cocoon.
But they'll come full time. You're still playing. You think?
Oh yeah. They're already set. In fact, we just got them into a good school.
Oh, which? What would you share with us?
In D.C., though, but within D.C.
Okay.
Had talked about how there's a fairly good showing from the administration here at the Milken Conference this year. As David mentioned, you're a member of President Trump's Strategic Policy Forum that meets quarterly. Give us a little bit of a sense of what your discussions with the president are in Washington versus what you've heard from the administration here.
So it's pretty consistent in the messaging, I would say. It's a great opportunity, Scarlett. There's 17 of us who sit around a table with the economic team and the president. And what I really get a sense of, the president is very outcome-oriented, very engaged in the issues, active in, you know, he sets the agenda with Steve Schwarzman, who kind